You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Looney Lewis, and today I am honored. I have a special guest to the show, Misty Sansom. Misty is a writer and a life purpose coach who helps people to figure out exactly what they meant to do in life and how to make it happen. Her work has been featured on the Huffington Post, The Daily Guru, The MindBody Green, and she teaches people how to find their purpose and bring it to life through her ebook, monthly membership, and her one-on-one coaching. We are all about finding your purpose in this show. So, Misty, you are in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited about this chat.
Yes, I am delighted. Looking forward to learning more about you. So let's get right to it. Tell us about your journey here.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, I'm a life purpose coach. I'm based in New Zealand. And my journey with finding purpose, it really started from quite a young age. I've always had this sense of there being something that I was meant to do, but not being able to really articulate or identify exactly what that was. So as I got older and, moved through school and moved into the real world, I approached what I was going to do with my life through that lens of knowing that there was something. And what I ended up doing was following the advice that we all get to chase our passions. And so I would kind of think, okay, well, what am I interested in? What am I passionate about? And, you know, it might have been business. And when I was much younger, it was fashion. And I thought about having a brick and mortar retail store. So I went down the path of getting as much experience and knowledge as I could. And then I would get to a point and think, you know what, actually, this isn't it. It still feels like something's missing. I haven't quite landed on it. So I would go back to square one. Mm-hmm. And then I would think again, what am I really interested in? What am I really passionate about? And I would go down another path. And same thing would happen. I realized as I got into it, it just wasn't what I expected it to be. There was still that feeling that something was missing, that there was something different and something bigger that I was meant to do. And so I did this, you know, many times over a period of years, and it was really frustrating. And I know a lot of the people that I work with have experienced the same kind of thing. They're just feeling incredibly frustrated about not being able to identify what that feeling is. And it causes a lot of self-doubt for people. They start to wonder, you know what, do I have a purpose? Maybe I don't have one, or maybe whatever I'm doing now is just what I'm meant to do and I just need to deal with it. So I got to a point where I thought, I need to figure this out because it was just going to drive me mad. And I spent a period of months being actively focused on it. So I still lived a, you know, normal life and had a day job and all of that kind of thing, but I really explored intuition and self-reflection and tried to let myself be guided to something bigger. And I actually pulled back from the idea of following my passions. And I worked out eventually. I remember the moment that I figured this out. It was in the evening, I was in bed just before I was going to sleep, and it was almost like it was spoken to me, your purpose is to help others find theirs. And it had come off the back of just months and months and months and months of trying to actively land on it and actively articulate and figure out what it was. And I remember feeling incredible and so relieved, and like my whole body just kind of went, oh my gosh, yes, this is it. This is what it is. This is what I'm meant to do. But then about 30 seconds later, I sort of thought, wait, what does that even mean? You know, like that doesn't even make sense. Yep. What am I meant to do with it? So I kind of thought, no, that's ridiculous. Like, imagine trying to explain that to my dad, you know, it's very logical. He would just be going, what on earth are you talking about? So I thought, no, that's ridiculous. I'm going back to the drawing board. But it didn't take very long that I kind of realized, you know what, I can't unknow what I know. This is definitely it. So instead of trying to fight against it, I just need to accept it and start working out how I can make it a thing. And when I looked back over my journey, which had really spanned years by this point, I looked back and thought, you know, what would have made it so much easier? Like if knowing what I know now, if I had known that, you know, 5 years ago, 8 years ago would have helped me figure this out much, much earlier. So I went back and I pulled it apart and worked out the key questions and key prompts and key concepts that really basically helped me figure this out. And I put that into a step-by-step process, and I asked some friends to go through it, and friends of friends, I sort of started taking people through that process, seeing if I could help them figure out what their purpose was with all these different prompts and these different questions. And the response to it was just incredible. It was helping people who had, again, like me, been trying to figure this out for years, or had it in the back of their mind for, you know, such a long period of time. It was helping them figure it out really quickly in a much shorter space of time. So I turned that process into an ebook, which I still use today. So it's the same process that I take clients through, whether I'm working with them one-on-one or whether it's in my membership. And that ebook is available on my website, the exact same steps, same process, pay what you can. And yeah, that's basically the core of the work that I do now.
I was holding back from laughter when you said the voice clearly said to you, your purpose is to help others find their purpose. Because talk about ambiguity, yeah? talk about confusion. It's like, hello, I'm stuck here trying to figure it out. Now you want me to help people find it?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's funny. It's really interesting. A lot of the people that I work with, their purpose ends up being the big thing that they've struggled with. You know, whether it's to do with self-belief or confidence or creating a balance in their life, whatever it is, it's often the thing that has been their biggest challenge, their biggest struggle. And, you know, they obviously have to go through their own process to figure that out for themselves. And then once they do, it kind of clicks into place that, right, I get it now, that this is what I'm meant to help other people with. And sort of, this is why I've gone through this big process. So that's a really interesting point to point out.
Yeah. Congratulations for being obedient.
Yeah.
And listening in. And because we have individuals like yourself, then we don't have to go through the decades of trying to deal with it, or of being frustrated, right? Not being able to come up with it. Because I struggle with the same thing you just described. It took me 20 years post like college, post PhD, just to figure out what is it? What is the purpose? What do I want to do? And the minute I realized I need to start adding value, it became so much clearer. A lot easier. So tell us about that process and how you're adding value, tremendous value to your clients' life. How do you relay that message to them?
Yeah, absolutely. It is a long process when you don't have that guidance, or when you're sort of approaching it like yourself, like I did, where we have that feeling and you're kind of just trying to figure it out on your own. So that's a big thing for me, is that guidance through the process, and also making it really simple and easy to follow. So I guess in terms of value, that's something that I really enjoy doing, is that I love taking very intangible concepts like purpose or intuition or even spiritual connection, something very big that feels vague and intangible, and breaking it right down into a practical, tangible, easy to follow process. I really love doing that for people. So I guess that would be the way that I really try and give value, is taking something that can take people years and decades to figure out and making it so easy, and just saying, look, these are the questions to ask. This is where you need to look. This is what you need to focus on. Let's go through that process and pull out what comes up from there. there, that's going to basically give you a good push in the direction of your purpose.
Yeah, because you did the work. You figured out how to make it a thing, is what you said. And you've developed the process on how to do it. So let's get into some of that details. What are some of the process?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, I'll run you through the process that I take my clients through. So we can kind of look at it in three parts. So the first part is basically figuring out who you are, what you're about, what you want life to look like, how you like to feel. Then you move into uncovering exactly what your purpose is. And then the third part is bringing it to life. So if we go back to the first part, sort of uncovering who you are and what you're about, there's five different exercises within that. So I always start with personality. So looking at your strengths and weaknesses and character and traits and what motivates you, what lights you up, what you might struggle with. And the way that I kind of give people a head start on that is to use a Myers-Briggs-based test. So I love 16 personalities. It's a free Myers-Briggs-based test. You don't have to register. It gives you a really comprehensive overview of your personality. So that's probably something that a lot of people have done. It, you know, often that people know what their personality type is. So whether it's new to them, whether it's a refresher, I always get people to go through that. And then I have a series of prompts and questions that they go through just to look at that profile and kind of think about what has surprised them. Has it changed their perspective on different traits that they may have had? What has it taught them? Is there anything that they feel more confident in doing now that they, you know, have this knowledge behind them? From there, we move into how they like to feel. So in general, in life, do you like to feel free? Do you like to feel valued or valuable? Do you like to feel safe or nurturing or inspiring or powerful? So whatever those core feelings are for you. And then we move into what I call your themes. So these are your passions and your interests. So I separate them into tangible and intangible themes. So a tangible theme might be a passion for design and design work. An intangible theme might be a passion for learning or for connecting with people. So we go through what are those themes that you've been either drawn to your whole life or that you find yourself, you know, every spare moment, this is what you want to do. Or if you're in a stage in life where you don't really have a lot of time and you're not really exploring those things, we kind of look at what do you wish you were able to put more time toward? What do you wish you were able to do a lot more? So we identify those themes. Then we move into values. So again, this is an exercise that people may have dabbled in, especially if they come from a corporate background. That's usually a common exercise in those environments. We look at what drives you in terms of your values and how that can create conflicts or sort of clashes within your life. So conflicts with other people are usually down to a clash in values. It might also be that you're feeling slightly off in life but can't really articulate why. And it often comes down to what we're doing for a living, what we're doing for our day job may also be clashing with our values. So whether that's the industry we're working in, the company, it might be just the specific office environment, there might be a bit of a clash of personal values in what you're doing. So that's really interesting to look at. And then we dive into what motivates you and why. So if we go back to those themes and interests and passions that you have, when you go into them and actually ask, okay, what is it about connecting with people that I really enjoy? Or what is it about design work that I really love? Is it that I like being creative? Or is it that I like hearing a person's idea and then turning it into something visual? Or is it that I like designing something that creates a certain emotion in people or that inspires them to do something? So that's really interesting to dive right into the motivations behind that. And often you'll find that the motivations behind those concepts will line up with how you like to feel and they'll line up with your values, which is perfect. It's so interesting to recognize that. So that's essentially the first part of the process. And the next part of the process, when we get into uncovering exactly what your purpose is, I always start with what it isn't. So just putting those misconceptions out on the table so that we're on the same page. So for instance, I always people your passions are not your purpose. You can bring your purpose to life through your passions, but they're not the purpose itself. I also want to let people know that you don't have to quit your day job. So you can bring your purpose to life through what you do for a living. It might be through your business or through your career, whatever that is. Or you can have a normal day job that's unrelated to your purpose and bring your purpose to life outside of that. And either way is totally fine. I fully recognize that, you know, at different stages of your life, you might need a day job. You might be really happy with your career and want to pursue that. You might not want to start a business. So I always want to let people know that isn't a barrier to living your purpose. Mm. And then the final part of that is also to let people know that they don't have to save the world. So, you know, your purpose, no matter what it is still so important. It doesn't have, often we feel like it has to be this really big, grand thing. But to be honest, your purpose is usually something very simple. It's usually something quite vague. It will be very vague sounding. It will be a very sort of high level concept, which is exactly how it should be. It gets more specific when you start to think about how you want to bring it to life.
Once you take the first step, the next step will be revealed to you, but you have to take action.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly it. So usually a person's purpose is going to either be something to do with other people, either other people, other living beings, or the environment, which totally makes sense because if you take away everything material in life, you know, what do we have left? We have each other, we have other living beings, and we have the environment that we're in. So it makes sense that your purpose is going to be for one of those three things. And it's going to be something that you feel compelled to teach or share or do or create or make or inspire or give or show or whatever it is. It's going to be something that you can do for others or do for the world. Even if it is a small, simple concept, it's going to be something that you feel really compelled to do. So with all of that sort of understanding out of the way, then we dive into uncovering exactly what your purpose is. And it's a lot of self-reflection and, again, prompts and questions to get you kind of thinking on the right track. And you can quite quickly uncover exactly what your purpose is. And the reason that this process works so well is because when you have a clear understanding of who, what you want out of life and what purpose is and isn't, it actually makes it a lot easier to articulate what you already know. Because often, the majority of the time, you're not so much finding it as you are uncovering it. Mm. So many times, you know, people will land on what their purpose is and they'll say, oh my goodness, I can't believe I haven't realized this before. Like this makes so much sense. I can't believe it's sort of taken me so long to figure this out because it now seems so obvious.
Because it's innate is what I'm hearing, Misty, right? It's in here. Mm-hmm. It's already inside you. It's already embedded. It's yours to give, right? It's been downloaded into you because that's your gift, your talent. That's how you are unique. That's your imprint on how to live on the earth and leave behind, how to add value.
Exactly.
It really is satisfying to hear that. Like, I don't have to go out searching for it.
No, absolutely not. I fully believe we all have a purpose. And like you say, it is innate, it's inherent within us. And, you know, this process that I take people through, it really is just uncovering what you already know. Sometimes it's giving you permission to say it or voice it or articulate it.
And not fight it.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like I personally have been fighting one-on-one coaching for a long time.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
I love the group. I love the podcast. I love sharing it in different mediums and platform, but one-on-one, I feel like not to denote one-on-one coaching, because I have a coach. I have a one-on-one, a coach that works with me one-on-one, and it's a great investment for me. I have a psychology background, and for me, it really is like, I do not want to do therapy. And it's easy. It's a slippery slope to fall into that. And so for me to find that, to stop fighting it, is to be reassured that it's not going to be like a therapeutic session. It's not going to be therapy. It's not going to be, you know, the old school way of actually encouraging and guiding somebody to better self-development. But I want to ask you, Misty, if you had your ideal client, and by ideal, I mean somebody who is willing, who's able, who is intrinsically motivated to go through the process that you you just explained to us. How long does it take to find for them to find their purpose?
Do you know what? In the membership that I mentioned, monthly membership, in May, we did a little mini course within the membership. So it was members only. And we moved through that process as a group over the space of 4 weeks. So we just had one call every week, and everybody had exercises in between each call to work on, which is exactly as I outlaid in that process. And the people that were on the calls and did the exercise, by week three, some of them, you know, needed an extra half a week to confirm. By week three, they knew exactly what their purpose was. So once you have the process to follow, and just with a little bit of guidance, it is something that you can figure out so quickly and so easily, even if you've spent years trying to work out what it is. And just touching on the ideal client, probably the people that I work with add to why the process is so easy for them once they have that process and they have that little bit of guidance. And the reason being is that the people that I work with are really motivated, they're really driven, they're really positive, although at the same time they can be feeling really frustrated, they can be feeling a little bit lost, they can be, you know, just unsure of exactly who they are and where they're heading. But the big thing is that they want to figure it out. Like, they know that they have a purpose, they just can't articulate it. They can't quite land on it. They really, really want to. So that it means that they're, you know, they're willing to put in that time, they're willing to put in the effort and do the self-reflection that's necessary to uncover it. And yeah, it's a process that can be done really quickly.
That is social proof right there. 3 weeks, that's perfect versus 10 years.
Exactly. Yeah.
Tell us about when people get stuck in ruts. Like, how can one get unstuck and get out of a rut?
Yeah, fantastic. This is a big issue that a lot of the people that I work with face as well. So the three steps that I kind of take people through is just to make it very logical, because often when you're feeling stuck in a rut, you kind of feel like everything is stuck. It just sort of feels like nothing is quite right. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know if what I'm working on is, important or of value or what I'm meant to be doing. So the things that I take people through is basically identify exactly where you're feeling stuck, as in what area of your life, and then identify why you're feeling stuck, and then create a plan to get unstuck. So very, very simple. It's a very simple process, but the hardest part is really just executing the plan. So to build on that a little bit more, if you look at in what area of your life you're feeling stuck, you want to just get really specific. So again, it might feel like it's kind of everything, but if you break it down, you might realize, you know what, it's my career. I feel like my career kind of isn't progressing. Or it might be that I feel like my business is just not moving forward in the way that I want it to be, or that it is rapidly growing, but perhaps my relationship is kind of drifting and that sort of feels a little bit turbulent at the moment. It might be your social life, or it might be that you know, life in general is pretty okay, but you kind of just feel bored. Like you sort of, you need some inspiration, you need some motivation, you need something new. So if you can narrow it down to a really specific area, that's really helpful. Just means that you know exactly what it is you need to focus on. If it feels a little bit more of a general overall thing, then you would want to try and just dig a little bit deeper and see if you can figure it out. So you could ask things like, what am I missing in life right now? Or what would I like more of in my life or less of in my life? Or if I could just change one or two things right now, what would they be? Or what is it that I want to achieve long term? So if you can start to articulate exactly what the area is where you're feeling stuck, then the next step is to uncover why. So again, really getting specific. And it will usually come down to there's an unmet need, or there's a particular way that you want to feel, but you just don't feel it in that situation. So for example, if you're feeling stuck in terms of your career, it might be that you want to feel challenged and stimulated, or it might be that you want to feel like you're working towards something really significant and meaningful, or it could be that you really want the personal satisfaction of progress and you want to be continuously improving and to feel positively challenged in your role. So it's really important to kind of uncover exactly why you're feeling stuck. So you can ask, what is it that you really want? Why do you want that? How do you want it to feel? And then the next step is to create a plan to get unstuck. And this is why it's really important to try and specifically identify the area and why, because from there you'll be able to come up with ways that you can address it or change it. So the changes that you make, they can be, you know, big or small. That's totally up to you. So again, if we're talking about a career, a really big change would obviously involve, you know, a new job or upskilling or training or changing your role or whatever it might be. Whereas a small change, if, for example, you're just feeling a little bit stuck in general and you kind of just need a bit of excitement and spontaneity in life, then a really small change could just be, you know, changing up your routine or doing something that you wouldn't normally do on the weekend, like visiting a new place or taking a class or volunteering or just doing something to change up your status quo in day-to-day life.
Yeah, you ask all the right questions. They're really in-depth to get you thinking and then bringing up the awareness, right? Because a lot of things that we're struggling, I find it for myself, there are things that I'm not aware of.
Yeah, absolutely. And the funny thing, and I mean, this applies to all aspects of personal growth, is when we have a challenge or a block or limiting belief, it weighs so heavily and it becomes so big in our mind. So we might have a small challenge that we're facing, but it feels huge. It takes up a disproportionate amount of space in our mind. But if you can get really logical about it and really rational and kind of pull it apart, often you'll find that, you know what, it's actually not as big as what I was thinking. And it's also something that if I made this small change here, or even if it's just a change in perspective, one small change here can make such a huge difference. And that is a huge part of personal growth, is really putting emotions just to the side for the moment and looking at things really logically, really rationally, and sort of thinking, okay, what is it exactly? And what is it exactly that what am I trying to move toward? And how can I do that?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Fantastic. Well put. I'd love to get to know about, you know, what drives you and what motivates you, right? Because you do such a great job at helping others find their purpose in living a purposeful, driven life. Let's talk about your morning routine, right? How do you get up, dress up, and show up so that you can continually provide such great value?
Yeah, absolutely. So my morning routine is more of an evening routine. Mm-hmm. And that has just come from being a mum of a 4-year-old at the moment, in that the mornings are pretty, you know, quick. We're getting up, we're getting ready, we're going to kindy. So I tend to have my more mindful time in the evenings. So how that looks for us is my son, you know, we have dinner, bath, books and bed. So he's usually bed relatively early. And that's when it sort of kicks into my own time. So I love to listen to something while I'm kind of cleaning up and making lunches and prepping for the next day. So usually that's a podcast or just an interview with someone who I find really interesting or inspiring, or on a topic that I'm curious about or want to learn a little bit more about. So I like to have something just playing in the background while I'm going through our routine of prepping for the next day. Then I go back to emails. I just check off little bits of my to-do list that I haven't got done earlier in the day. The big thing that I've been working on for the last few weeks is inbox zero. So I've always been, I'm ashamed to say how much of a mess my inbox used to be, but I'm being very, very, what's the word, disciplined with my inbox. So I've kept that up for a few weeks now. So yeah, getting back to inbox zero each evening. And then I get into more of a mindfulness reflection, whether that's sort of self-reflection on the day, or if there's been a particular event, or if there's something going on sort of emotionally, that would be the time that I do a bit of self-reflection around that, meditation or journaling. So I don't usually do every single one of those things every night. It's just kind of more how I'm feeling as to what I do of those, one of those four mindfulness type exercises. And then I usually end my evening with something inspiring, which is often a book. I might just, you know, read a few pages of a book. It's also often reading a really long form article that I might have bookmarked during the day. Although I try not to do that because it often sends me down in a little, you know, rabbit hole of and then that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do try to keep it to a book, but it's about kind of 50-50 at the moment.
Yeah. I know about going down rabbit holes. I have so many browsers open. You're like, why did I even start this?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and especially if it is something interesting, if it is something that really captures your attention, you sort of, you know, you suddenly think, oh, I'll just have a look at this for a few minutes. And then it's like 30, 40 minutes has gone by. It's like, oh my gosh, I just, yeah, lost that time.
Because you have that love for knowledge. You're a seeker, right? Hmm. You want to learn more. It's simple. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's better than binge watching Netflix and letting they autoplay the next episode for you. And you're like, all right, well, it made it easy for me. So I'm just going to sit here, you know?
Oh my gosh. I totally agree. And do you know, I'm a person that, yeah, I do like knowledge. I do like knowing things. And I guess when it comes to new information, I can just get a little bit too addicted to it. And for that reason, I don't have Netflix. I don't have anything. We don't have a TV. I don't watch any kind of shows just because I will get into a binge watching period. And I just, you know, I have friends who are like, oh my gosh, you have to watch this. And I'm like, I don't even want to start because I know that, that will be my life for the, you know, however long it takes. And it's like, I'm just not getting into it.
Yeah. For a long time, my TV was under the bed. And then finally, before I moved, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to donate it.
Yeah.
I don't need it. And so I'm just like you, like, give me a book or give me some article, let me learn something new. Then you just kind of go on a searching spree.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it ends up being the same thing. Like, you know, sometimes when people hear I don't have a TV, they're thinking I'm this sort of like, oh, wow, you know, no screen time. And I'm like, oh, yeah, there's still a lot of screen time.
there is.
Yeah.
Misty, your evening/morning routine is very unique and intriguing because yours literally starts the night before. Because I've heard entrepreneurs said the morning routine starts the night before, and what they mean is they do brain dumps before going to bed, you know, journaling, just getting everything off their head and into paper so that they can rest easily during the night. Or they will prep their hydration, their water, right? Because a lot of entrepreneurs, especially myself, we drink a glass of water in the first thing in the morning. So they'll place that on the nightstand. So I've heard that. And then there's you who says, you know what? My morning routine doesn't happen in the morning because of my current situation and your lovely son. And so in the morning routine is, it goes to show you, it's as long as you're doing the things that help set you up for the day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, it's one of those things that can really change. I mean, before I had my son, as I feel like every new parent before they actually have kids, you know, we have these ideas of what it's going to be like, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be so organized, and it's going to be like blah, 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 blah. And it just does not happen, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, that was a big shift for me, whereas I previously had a routine that I liked to go through. But, I mean, kids march on their own time, so you sort of have to work around them as well.
Yeah, and then they have a routine that changes every 3 months.
Absolutely, yes,
you have to adapt.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, the evening, shifting to the evening has been a big help for me. And to be honest, I've always been an evening person as well. I always feel quite inspired and quite creative in the evenings. So that suits me as well.
Mm-hmm. It has a lot to do with your chronotype, right? There's a book called The Power of When that describes when you are most productive. And then how to utilize that energy, that state of flow. And it sounds like you might be what we call a bear. They kind of stay up later and get more done. They utilize the after hours more than other people like myself, who's like the 10% of the population. Bears are more, I think, 50% of the population, right?
Mm.
And so the lion, who is me, I am tired by 6 o'clock. I'm done. But I'm the type of person that will be up at 4:30 in the morning because I wake up with a ton of energy ready to go. And so it's an ebb and flow, right, between the different individuals.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I love that. I've written that down. So I'm going to add that to my reading list. Thank you.
My pleasure. You'll love and you'll help a lot with your clients and knowing and giving them that extra tool of like, hey, this is when you're most productive. Work on the high level things first.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I'm excited.
Misty, I really like your evening routine. You are consuming data, inspirational data. You are also meditating. That mindfulness is important. Like, you really got to control your mind. And then not control it. Let me take that back. Liberate your mind.
Oh, yeah. 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 Well worded. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you got to be able to let it do the free flowing, get the writing things down and actually get that the peaceful calmness state so you can be be a bigger force of some sort.
Absolutely. And, you know, it just, as you know, with the, you know, topic of your podcast, it makes all the difference. You know, there's been times in my life where I've fallen out of habit of being really consistent with that. And I always notice the difference to the times where I'm consciously, you know, doing something. It doesn't have to be huge, but doing something in terms of mindfulness or meditation or that journaling or reflection every single day, it just worlds apart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree. Journaling is a form of meditation because you're cognizant, you're aware, you're alert, you know, you're thinking, you're processing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess that's sort of just going on a slight tangent. That's something that I always like to remind people of, that mindfulness can look different for everyone. So if you're a person that loves being outdoors, or, you know, I live by the beach, so there's a lot of people who surf here. And I know for those people, going out for a surf is a form of meditation, or it's a form of mindfulness. So, you know, those periods can look different for everyone. For me, it would be going for just a short little, you know, couple of hours for a hike through the bush or along the beach. That's absolutely a form of meditation for me as well.
I love that you bring that up, because that's what it is emphasizes, is how unique it can be for the individual. Like, it's not a cookie cutter. It could be different. Like, I'm a runner. Running is my form of meditation as well. I do the other form. I meditate for an hour every morning and then about 10 minutes at night. But running serves as a form of meditation for me as well.
Yeah.
And I refuse to work out with anybody else. My fiance is always like, come on, let's do a workout together. I was like, it's not the same.
Yeah.
This is my time.
Yeah, exactly. I totally hear what you're saying. It's nice to have that time where you're, you know, outside and kind of moving. But yeah, it's your time. It's your time to think and to reflect. And absolutely, I totally get what you mean.
Yeah. Misty, I've taken so much of your time. I thank you for coming on the show. But please, please tell us, how do we connect with you?
Absolutely. My website is mistysansom.com, S-A-N for Nelly, S-O-M for Mum. And you'll find the ebook, which is there, Pay What You Can. There's a few free resources and also links to Instagram and Facebook and everywhere else. So yeah, jump on my website and have a look around.
Fantastic. I will put all that on the show notes. Misty, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I loved the chat as well. Really appreciate that.
Awesome.
All right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.
This week at Macy's, get an extra 20% off with your coupon or Macy's card. That's on top of already great deals, like 25 to 60% off cold weather gear for the whole family, 30 to 60% off select bedding and bath, plus 30% off select small appliances. And Star Rewards members earn on every purchase, except gift cards, services, and fees at Macy's, Macy's Backstage, and Market by Macy's. More at Macy's.com/StarRewards. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.